You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Kings. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, Kings fans, a happy Monday evening. You're listening to Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And thank you for making this show your first listen of the evening, I guess. Anyway, this is Locked On Kings. My name is Sarah Appenpato, as always, host of this show, and glad to be here with you. You can also hear me over on Locked On NHL on Wednesdays, where I talk all about stuff going on in the Western Conference, so make sure you're tuning in over there. But for right now, it's all Kings all the time here on Locked On Kings. And we have two fun wins to talk about. Well, maybe fun is not the right word. Like, stressful maybe is a little better. Harder than it needed to be, maybe a little bit better. But at the end of the day, the Kings are on a two-game winning streak, which is not something that they had done yet this year. They picked up their second and third wins of the season just over the weekend against Montreal first, and then against the Buffalo Sabres second. We are going to look at both of those games today, as well as any other Kings news that happens to have come up in the meantime. But really, those wins are the big news, because I feel like had the Kings lost those games, especially after going into the third with a lead against Winnipeg and then blowing it, had the Kings lost either of those games, also given that Montreal is really bad, like to the point where they had like a closed-door team meeting the other day after the loss to the Kings. They just also lost to the Ducks in kind of epic collapse fashion. So if we hadn't won against Montreal, I think that the story would be a little different right now for the Kings. If we hadn't won against Buffalo, you know, I'm on the fence about that, because I keep joking that this is the Stanley Cup contender Buffalo Sabres, because they are doing very strong. They are like in a playoff position at this point. We all know, of course, the Stanley Cup isn't awarded in October or in November, but the Sabres have come out strong, probably a little bit out of spite, quite honestly. Don Granato's doing a great job with that team, which is made up of a bunch of guys who you watch the game and you go, oh, that's where that guy wound up. So, like, had we lost to Montreal, things would be looking pretty dire. Had we lost to Buffalo as well, it would be looking dire just because it was a prolonged losing streak, but not necessarily because it was Buffalo, which feels like a very, very strange thing to say at this point. But I guarantee we're not going to be saying that same thing in like December, January. I think Buffalo is going to come crashing back down to earth. But instead, the Kings put together two kind of strong, somewhat inspired performances against both of those teams. Came from behind, got some scoring from some somewhat unexpected places, and had some of the youth players stepping up big. So we are going to celebrate all of that as the Kings get ready to take on the St. Louis Blues again, somehow, later this week. The Blues come to town on Wednesday, so that will actually be the last game that these two teams will play, given that we had that back-to-back earlier in the season in St. Louis. Kings and Central Division teams play each other three times. Ta-da, we're done. So right now, obviously, the Kings had the day off from practice today, so we're not really going to know much in terms of lines or anything or anything shuffled around until Tuesday at the earliest, probably more likely Wednesday. Over the weekend, on Sunday, prior to the Buffalo game, we actually found out that both Victor Arvidsson and Gabe Vilardi had entered the COVID protocols. So again, like, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have COVID. It could mean that they had a potential exposure. It could mean they had a false negative in their routine testing. So we don't really know anything for sure, to the best of my knowledge, at least. But both of those guys, Arvidsson took warm-ups before being pulled at the last minute. Vilardi had been a healthy scratch the game before, and honestly, I kind of felt like would probably be a healthy scratch again on Sunday, given just overall how well the Kings played on Saturday. I was like, well, of course, Todd McClellan's not going to tinker with this. Why would you tinker with this when you won, right? But he had to tinker because Arvidsson was out in that game against the Sabres. Arthur Kaliev got some time up on the top line with Anji Kopitar and Dustin Brown, which is honestly a line that I find curious. I'd like to see a little bit more of. I feel like those are both three really big bodies who can create some havoc in a game. And you have, you know, the scoring prowess of Arthur Kaliev, or at least his very dangerous shot. You have the all-around game from Anji Kopitar, and you have the very physical game from Dustin Brown. I feel like it's a really interesting trio that I feel like McClellan sort of played with his lines a little bit, so they didn't go out there all the time. But I think that that's kind of an interesting look. Because of that, also, Carl Grundstrom drew back into the lineup as well. He had probably been on his way to being a scratch also, but he got to pull into the lineup and scored a goal against the Buffalo Sabres. So we'll find out later in the week what the status is of Vilardi and of Arvidsson, and go from there as Todd McClellan looks to see if he's going to run with what works right now or if he's going to try to integrate these guys back in. One other lineup note, and this is a thing that, as I've said before in other situations, may not really mean a whole lot. It could probably be more of a cap-saving slash waiver-saving move, but Austin Strand was reassigned to the Ontario Reign. As we've discussed before, the whole rule with waivers is if you're a player who needs to pass through waivers to go to the AHL, when you get called up, you can basically be freely moved around back and forth for a good amount of time. That timer ends when you have either played 10 NHL games or been on the roster for 30 consecutive days. So by reassigning Strand to the AHL right now, especially when the Kings aren't playing, that is at least resetting that 30-day clock. That would mean that you can keep him up for a little longer, especially if you're not going to play him in every game, like what has been happening right now. Strand did sit out the next couple of games after he got called up, and I thought delivered a pretty strong performance. He sat, though, in favor of Cale Klig, who was pulled into the lineup. We'll talk more about him a little bit later, but I don't necessarily think that Strand sitting has been the right choice, especially when only Mata's out there just doing a whole lot of nothing. But Mata has been kind of the team scapegoat for the past season or so, and, you know, is it true? Is it the best decision to have him playing? I don't know. It feels a little bit like picking on the guy who you know no one likes, but also I don't really see what he brings that Austin Strand doesn't. But so Strand reassigned to the AHL. My guess is, though, that it is temporary and that he will be back up Wednesday, maybe Tuesday, before the next game against the Blues. But it, at least for right now, is A, saving the Kings money, because you get paid less when you're in the AHL than you do when you're in the NHL. So saving the money and saving some days on that clock ticking before he would have to pass back through waivers to go back to the Reign. So we'll see. I would anticipate a call up again for him, even if he doesn't play, just because the Kings need that seventh defenseman to have on the roster just in case. But Austin Strand, at least probably, maybe temporarily reassigned to the Ontario Reign. Elias Anderson also has drawn back in. Andreas Athanasiou might be getting close. He's been making some appearances, I believe. And of course, Quentin Byfield, nowhere near returning. Same with, obviously, Doughty and Walker. But we're starting to maybe get the forward core, at least, back looking like what we had thought they were going to look like before everyone started getting hurt. So we are going to look in the next part of the show at the game against the Montreal Canadiens, aka Welcome Home Tyler Toffoli. That is coming up right after this. First, though, we have TV, because you love TV. I bet you do, because you also love watching sports. And if you like TV and if you like sports, that means you also are probably used to the dilemma of having like 45 different services that you have to stream things on. You have a bunch of different devices. You have some things that only work on your phone versus on your computer versus like nothing will stream to your television. It's just all a lot of work and it's very frustrating. And there's a solution now to make things easier. That is called DirecTV Stream. It is a great way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and it's a great way to finally get all your TV together. DirecTV Stream brings your live TV and on-demand ticket favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there is no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible devices are required and content varies by package. So the Kings played the very, very struggling Montreal Canadiens on Saturday in a matinee game. The only other game the Kings had won to date was also a matinee game against the Vegas Golden Knights, which really, quite honestly, if you've been following this team over the past however many years, the sort of running gag is that the matinee game is basically like a scheduled loss for the Kings. They just could never seem to like get it up to go and play at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So having the Kings now have 3 wins on the season, all of them during weekend matinee games, feels a little concerning. Like, we need to look at the schedule and be like, hey, can we reschedule all of these for Saturday at 1 p.m.? Because that's working, at least. This is a game that I truly felt could have gone one of two ways, because the Canadiens came into this game with just 2 wins, one over Detroit, which was largely in part due to the fact that Detroit's leading scorer, at least at the time, I haven't looked at their record because quite honestly, I don't care about the Detroit Red Wings. At the time, their leading scorer, Tyler Bertuzzi, did not get to play in that game because he can't go to Canada because he's not COVID vaccinated. So Bertuzzi, who has largely been driving the Red Wings offense, didn't get to play. Detroit basically collapsed under Montreal and lost that game. They also won against the Sharks, which, I mean, LOL, I don't understand what the Sharks are doing this year, so cool, whatever. And so it was like, the game against the Sharks, I was like, well, this could go one of two ways as well, because if Montreal lost against the Sharks, they would have been coming in on an even longer losing streak, and it's like, well, this team is desperate, they are hungry, they're going to do anything, aka, please don't hurt my boys. If they win against San Jose, which they did, they might come in a little overconfident, let's say, and that could either be good or bad, depending on how solid that overconfidence was. So they did come in on a win, and at the beginning of the game, it looked like we might end up losing to the Montreal Canadiens, because they did get out to a 1-0 lead in the first period towards the very end. It's one of those goals that you just hate to see every single time. It's like not quite the buzzer beater, not quite the last like 60 seconds of play, but Josh Anderson scored 18 minutes, 22 seconds into the first, and you just hate to go back to the locker room with that goal hanging over you, knowing that like you were so close to getting out of that period with no score, or no score against you at least, and then oops, you let it happen. So the Kings fortunately responded how I wanted them to respond, which was by scoring goals. Victor Arvidsson got on the board first, followed by Arthur Kaliev on the power play. And here is where I want to talk a little bit about Cale Klig. Klig, we've talked about him a lot on this show. He is a little bit of a fan favorite. He's one of those prospects who I think everyone maybe has, and I'll include myself in this too, because I've very much long been a Cale Klig defender, sort of. He is someone who maybe we have put a little bit too high on the food chain, let's say, or a little bit too high on the prospect rankings or whatever. But, you know, not getting picked by Seattle, being able to pass through waivers multiple times this season, last season, you're like, okay, well, you know, what am I missing? And for me, the thing with Klig has always been his inconsistency. He can have both his best game and his worst game in the same game. There are times where he looks like he knows what's happening. There are times where he doesn't look like he knows where he is. And so you never really know what you're going to get with Klig, especially at the NHL level. He's a little better, a little smoother in the AHL, but the NHL, I've just been sometimes wildly confused by what I've seen. In this game, it felt a little bit like, well, we've got nothing left to lose, so let's just do it. Klig was on the top power play unit, and he was basically quarterbacking the whole thing. He's patrolling the blue line, he's setting up plays, he's keeping the puck in, making smart passes, and ta-da, look at what happens when you have a puck-moving defenseman running your power play, distributing pucks, helping make plays. Klig had a great setup for Arthur Kaliev to get him on the board for the Kings. Second goal of that first period. For a team who mostly I had been liking their second power play unit better, it's the one kind of more with the kids, Todd McClellan shook everything up. Kaliev was on that top unit. Klieg was there. Kopitar was there. So it was really just sort of a mishmash of everything that we've been seeing. But it worked. And, you know, I wouldn't attribute it all to Klieg. I would attribute it to sort of changing the look, changing the personnel. But at the end of the day, the power play worked and scored against the Canadiens. We had three more goals after that. Rasmus Kupari in the third period, followed by two goals from Alex Iafallo. The Kupari and the second Iafallo goal, both on the power play. So I was at this game in LA and largely went to, you know, cry over Tyra Toffoli like everyone else did, and was sitting down in the lower bowl in that end. I'm pretty sure that if you like look at replays or look at photos of those goals from Kupari and Iafallo, that you can probably find me somewhere in there. So I guess there's your Easter egg. There's your challenge, I guess, for the next show is go see if you can find me. You'll win a prize. The prize is the knowledge of having found me in the crowd. But watching those plays unfold like 10 rows away from me was fantastic. The goal from Iafallo, particularly the second one, was just such hard work. A goal largely made by Phil Deneau, who I really, really hoped was going to get a goal in this game, but he didn't. But, you know, I'll take it. We still won the game. But seeing up close, really, the hard work from Alex Iafallo on both of those plays and the skill there was just really, like, he's always been, since he came into the NHL, a player that I've really liked and have defended against people who are like, what do you even do here? But I think seeing it up close and seeing the effort that goes into his work on the ice, I think really also kind of reinforces why he is so important to this team, why he is wearing a letter with Drew Doughty out, and just really the effort that he gives on every shift, I think is really great. Rasmus Kupari, amazing shot from him on his goal. He is someone who I've liked more and more what we've seen from him in each game. Again, he got that opportunity on the power play as well to score his goal. Kupari had just under 13 minutes of ice time, three shots on goal. Iafallo, since we've talked about him, three shots on goal as well. Dustin Brown led with five. No points for him, but he's just out there doing what he always does. But really, Alex Iafallo was kind of the eye-opener in this game, the hustle from him in making plays. So I was just really pleased to see him get rewarded for all that hard work. If you listened to the show on Friday when we talked with Laura Saba from Locked On Canadiens, her score prediction was 5-1 in favor of the Kings. The final score ended up being 5-2. So we were so close. I was really mad at Ben Sherratt for ruining that because I thought it would have been really funny had Laura been a prophet. She was mostly a prophet, though, and helped manifest this one into existence. Before we move on to looking at the Sabres game and just sort of the overall picture of the Kings, special shout out to all of the Canadiens fans who were at this game at Staples Center, particularly all the ones sitting around me who spent the whole game chirping Phil Deneau in French. My French is really bad. My, like, Quebecois French is even worse. Like, every time I'm in Montreal, I'm like, I don't know what's happening. But they were obviously chirping him the whole game. But whether they were saying mean things or just funny things, or if they were just saying, hey, Phil, we love you and miss you, I have no idea. And when I consulted with my French-speaking expert, Laura Saba, she was like, well, they could be mad, they could be happy, you'll never know, because they're going to sound the same no matter what. But shout out to all of the very rowdy Canadiens fans who came down to Staples Center. One of the people next to me, whenever the Canadiens scored the first goal, they were basically like, let's just end the game now. So a little bit of refreshing honesty as well from the fan base who sort of knew what to expect from their team going into this one. So just overall a really fun time. But really most importantly was the great work that a lot of the Kings did in keeping this game under control and not letting the foot off the gas. You know, once they went up 2-1 in that second period, they could have easily just chilled. But instead they poured it on in the third and walked away with, at the time, their first win since opening night. Good job, Kings. up next, we are going to look at the game against Buffalo, which similarly could have ended in a big loss. Before we do that, though, we've got Built Bar, because Built Bars are delicious, and this is basically the best time of year for them. We've got Halloween. Obviously, you probably just stuffed yourself full of candy. We have Thanksgiving coming up, at least American Thanksgiving. You've got lots of good foods, lots of treats, and a lot of them aren't very good for you. You maybe want a yummy dessert, but one that isn't going to be full of calories and sugar and stuff that maybe you shouldn't be eating so much of. That means that this is the perfect time for Built Bars, because it is the new holiday dessert. You can have something delicious and feel good about it. Built Bars are low in calories, low in sugar, and have plenty of protein. You can go and get a coconut Built Bar to replace that coconut cream pie. You can get a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. So there are lots of good flavors to replace any dessert that maybe you just feel like, you should skip this year. They're low calories, low carb, low fat, high protein, covered in 100% chocolate, and they are a great option for when you're hungry, when you want a snack, when you want something sweet. All around, just really delicious. There are new surprises all month. We've got limited edition flavors arriving at built.com regularly, so make sure you're going to the site often to find out what's there. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday, too, so mark your calendar. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. The Kings wrapped up their weekend at home with a game against the Buffalo Sabres, who, like I said, I keep joking that they're the Stanley Cup contending Buffalo Sabres, which is false, but it's funny for now, at least. The Sabres are second in the Atlantic Division. They're 5-2-1 so far this season. No, I don't know how they're doing it with, like, Craig Anderson, Dustin Tokarski as their goaltenders. Everyone on the team, you're basically like, oh, that guy plays here? Like, whenever I was prepping for this game, I realized that Vinny Hinostroza was somehow in Buffalo. Cody Eakin still exists and plays there. Like, it's just really weird. They have a goal differential of +8, which puts them really honestly up there with some of the top teams in the league. If the playoffs started today, the Buffalo Sabres would be in the playoffs. And for as much as, you know, obviously it's also fun to dunk on them as a team, like, you do have to acknowledge and respect, like, you do occasionally have to give it to them, that Don Granato, who was officially given the coaching job after stepping in as interim coach, is doing a really good job with this team. They also looked a lot better last season once he took over and really kind of just started reforming, reshaping things with this team. So while I say a little bit tongue-in-cheek, the Stanley Cup favorite Buffalo Sabres, for right now, they're a team that is actually doing pretty strong. I don't know that, you know, anyone believes it is sustainable, but for right now, they're a team that you should not take for granted whenever they come to town. And so they proved this in the game against the Kings, where they got out to a 2-0 lead in the second period. Both of those goals scored off the rush for them. One was shorthanded, the other one was kind of a breakaway that, you know, developed in the neutral zone. And they were both plays where you're both just sitting there like, man, Kings, like, how did you let that happen? Just kind of sloppy plays, let Buffalo get that breakout and score. And so you're sitting there thinking mid-second period, okay, here we go again. Yet another outing from Jonathan Quick that was maybe going to be wasted as he was looking for his first win of the season. And you're just like, okay, well, we already got scored on shorthanded because we got sloppy. Like, this is just, none of this is great, right? Yeah. Carl Grundstrom, midway through the second period, just exactly a minute after Victor Olofsson scored, finally got the Kings on the board. This was a play that, like, when I first watched it, I was like, ah, that goal was kind of gross, like, in an ugly way, in one of those, oh, wow, I sure scored, but did it really happen? But he took a great pass from Kopitar. Kopitar kicked the pass up from his feet to a skate, which is always an impressive feat, sent it to Grundstrom, who just used a, you know, classic power forward move to, like, bully his way to the net. First shot didn't go in. He got the rebound, shoved it underneath the goalie, and got the Kings on the board. So the more that I watched that play, the more I was like, oh, okay, like, you could see the skill in it. You could see that he, you know, didn't quit on that play. He followed it up, and was able to get it past Dustin Tokarski. Kings go into the third period, still down. Anže Kopitar gets the tying goal. Alex Iafallo gets the game winner at the end of the game. Cale Klig assisted on that Kopitar goal. Again, it was one that came on the power play. So Klig continuing to do the work to make this spot his. We know that there's going to be at least one spot on the blue line open all season because of Sean Walker's injury. So Klig is saying, hey, it should be me that gets this role. And right now he is really proving his worth, especially on the power play. I really would recommend, if you haven't paid attention to him, to watch him on the power play, to watch the way that he distributes that puck, to watch the way that he helps set stuff up. He is really doing what we haven't seen, particularly since Doughty went down, and the Kings kind of struggled with that power play. So even if Cale Klig does nothing else other than like quarterback the power play, I'm happy. He played 6 minutes and 9 seconds on the power play in this game against Buffalo, most out of anyone on the team. Kopitar and Brown both played a little over 5 minutes. Matt Roy, kind of quarterbacking the other power play unit, played just over 4. So Klig definitely getting a very long leash here as he helps make things happen and helps maybe return the power play to a little bit of respectability. So Kopitar puts in his 7th of the year on the power play from Klig, and then Alex Iafallo from Tobias Bjornfoot and Adrian Kempe. Kempe had a 2-point night, as did Kopitar and Bjornfoot, all those guys with multiple points. Bjornfoot, I'm sure we're going to talk about him more later on in the week because he has been putting some really solid performances in a way that you don't always necessarily notice him on the play, which is good. Sometimes if you're noticing your defenseman, something has gone really awry. But he has been, showing a little bit more of an edge. He has been, more active in all 3 zones. He's been breaking up plays. He's been doing what we want to see from him as a young defenseman progressing to this next stage in his career. He kind of got the rookie season sort of stuff out of the way last year. And if he's going to be a full-time NHLer this year, which it looks like he will be, this is kind of what you want to see him doing, taking these big steps. So here was another game that, the Kings got down 2-0 off of 2 really kind of stupid goals from Buffalo that were sort of the Kings' own fault. And, the Kings from just a week ago might have collapsed after that. Particularly that shorthanded goal, just really, really dispiriting to see that. And I really appreciated that in both of these games, the Kings fought back from behind. And then once they got that lead, they kept playing. We have seen too many times this team kind of take their foot off the gas and slow down once they had a lead. And then, surprise, you lose the game. So really pleasing to see them just hold steady throughout the whole game. So I didn't get to go to that one in LA. I was actually supposed to be on an airplane at the time going back home. And then, things with flights happen. And instead, I watched it on TV while waiting to figure out how I was going to leave Los Angeles. Sadly, staying forever, not quite an option, jobs and stuff. But really pleased to at least get to see the win against Montreal in person. And I didn't really talk about it, but the welcome for Tyler Toffoli was amazing in that game against Montreal. Obviously just a ton of Montreal Canadiens fans there, which made that first goal a little bit awkward, given the huge cheer that went up. But of course, the prerequisite video for Tyler Toffoli's return. This is the first time he had been back to Staples Center since getting traded in February 2020, which was also the last time that I saw Tyler Toffoli. I was at the Stadium Series game, got to see those 3 goals in person there, and everyone kind of knew, given all of the rumors about the Kings and who was on the trade block, everyone sort of knew that that was most likely going to be his last game with the Kings. Pleased to be able to say I saw him get to come back to Staples Center, but a very warm, loving reception from the crowd who, he may not play for this team anymore, but I think he's always going to be a fan favorite, and a very gracious reception from him on that recognition. And I am also glad that, my prediction of him scoring a hat trick against the Kings did not come true. Well, I guess we'll save that for the now long-ended Toffoli revenge tour against Vancouver last season, where he just decimated them. But really good to see him again. There was at one point in the game where Brendan Lemieux kind of tried to mix it up with Toffoli, and everyone's like, I don't know what to do with my feelings, because Toffoli's not on our team anymore. But we certainly don't want Brendan Lemieux to try to beat him up, right? Like, so that was a very weird moment, but really great to see Toffoli back at Staples Center. Fans love him and will always be grateful for what he did in that cup run. And that whole line, all gone now. The next one to come back is Jeff Carter in January with the Penguins. So 97% chance that I'm going to be there for that one to experience feelings about it as well. So two great efforts from the Kings over the weekend in some matinee games. We get a third crack at St. Louis later this week on Wednesday. So we'll check in later this week to see what is up with that, what has changed with the Blues and what we've got to do to win that one. Tomorrow we'll also check in on the Ontario Reign as they have also had a pretty strong weekend of their own. They are sailing to the top of the standings in the AHL, so we will see what the Reign are up to. That is it for today, so thank you so much for listening. Thank you for making this your first or second or evening listen on whatever of your favorite podcast app of choice is. Make sure you come back tomorrow to check in on the Reign and get ready for the rest of the week. Now that we're done here, make your second listen. Locked On Fantasy Hockey host Scott Cullen leads on his decades of fantasy hockey experience every day to help you be the expert of your fantasy league. It is free and available on all platforms, so go check it out wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you're following this show on Twitter at Locked On LA Kings. I tweet about games, I tweet about news and updates, and occasionally just like whining about whatever's happening. You can find me on Twitter as well at Right Said Sarah. This show is available wherever you get your podcasts, so make sure you're following along, subscribing so you never miss an episode, and come back tomorrow and every day of the week for more Kings news here on Locked On Los Angeles Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.